Hey there, my name is Gary Sims and this is Gary Explains. So from time to time I've seen videos on YouTube which explain how you can build your own Arduino microcontroller board by buying the 80 mega chip and kind of building it yourself. And I thought, now wouldn't it be interesting if you could do that with an ARM Cortex microcontroller? I noticed that Adafruit sold a kit about 5 years ago that allowed you to do this very thing. However, some of those pieces are now no longer available. So I took that project as a basis and I kind of updated it so that you could use pieces you could still buy today to allow you to build a Cortex M0 Plus microcontroller board. And this is it. This is what you get on a breadboard when you actually build it. And what I want to do today is show you how you can build this step by step, starting with the chip that you buy, the actual NXP microcontroller chip, and then building together this circuit and then programming it with your own software so that we can flash an LED. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Before we get started, I want to say one thing. This is quite a long video because I do take it from the very, very basics, you know, the bits that you need, right up to the very end where we've actually got our own firmware running on this board. I did think about splitting it into two videos, but I thought since this is just one project, we'll just go from the beginning to the end. So if you really are interested in this, do stick to the very end because I cover absolutely everything you need to know. Okay, let's get cracking. Okay, so these are all the pieces that we're going to need to make our own microcontroller board. And of course, the star of the show is the microcontroller itself. This is a Cortex M0 Plus microcontroller, 16K of flash, 4K of RAM, comes from NXP, and this is actually the LPC812. It comes in different packages, and as you can see, this is one with these 20 little pins on it. So we're going to use this adapter here. This is a SOP 20 adapter so that we can solder this onto these pads here, and then with these legs here we're gonna be able to push this into the breadboard. So we need the adapter, the pins, and then a breadboard. Now for the power supply we need two capacitors. These are both 0.1 microfarad capacitors, and then a 3.3 volt voltage regulator, and this is a Microchip MCP1700, and again I'll leave information about all of these things and links where I can in the description below. We're going to need an LED and a 220 ohm resistor so we can flash an LED to show that our microcontroller is working, and then we need a USB to serial adapter. I showed you one of these in my blue pill, black pill video, exactly the same kind of thing. And we're gonna need some wires here to actually wire up the breadboard once we start plugging in all the components. So that's it. Basically, the microcontroller and its adapter, so we can put it into the breadboard, something for the power supply, something that we can flash on and off, and something to program it, and the wires to connect it all together. Okay, so what I've done is I've broken off 10 pins twice, so that I've got these two rows of legs here, and I've put them into the breadboard because that makes it much easier to solder on this PCB now, because it kind of keeps it still for you. Now, as I've said, I'm not the world's best solderer. In fact, when I first did this from the prototype I built, I kind of had to do it two or three times to get it right. I'm more of a software guy, really, but we will see what we can do. Now the first thing you do is, after you've put the PCB on there, is I'm going to put some flux on here so that the solder sticks well to the metal bits and doesn't stick to the other bits. Okay, so that's what we're going to do there. And all we're going to do now is solder these 20 joints so that the PCB is soldered to the pins. Okay, so I've soldered these first 10 connections here down this side. Now we're going to spin it round and we're going to solder the other 10 connections, maybe put some more flux on it if it's dried out by now. So I'll press on and do that. And then afterwards we'll test to make sure that each of these connections are actually good connections. Okay, now that I've got that all soldered up, I want to test each of the connections. And we need to do this now because later on when we're building on the circuit, if something isn't working, we want to make sure it's not because we've made a mistake here early on. So what I'm going to do is, in each one of these holes, I'm going to stick this little cable. Okay, and then what we're gonna do is stick, I've got a multimeter here, which the type that, you know, buzzes when you make a connection. You can do that now because we've got no components on the board, so that's safe. And what I'm gonna do is, basically this pad here on the PCB should be connecting now to the end of this pin here, which it is, great. And so now we move along one, and let's check the next pad. That's good, and you can also test to make sure the ones on either side aren't buzzing as well. Be great. And I'm now gonna do that. I'm gonna test all of them to make sure that all of the solders have come through correctly. Okay, so they all tested out okay. So the next thing is, we actually want to put the chip here on these pads like this. Now, this is the most fiddliest part of the whole thing. Notice there's a notch here in the top of the design, and there's a notch here in the top of the chip, so you know which way around it's meant to go. Now, the way to do this is you tin each of the pads, which I'll show you, starting to show you how to do that in a minute. And then finally, you put the chip on and you heat up the leg, and then it just kind of melts into the tin that you've already put on there. So let's tin each of these pads, and then we'll get around to putting on the actual chip. So first of all, you want to put lots and lots of flux on, because really we only want this to stick on the pads. So you, in fact, almost an exaggerated amount of on here, because really all we want is the tin to stay on those pads, and we don't want it to go anywhere else. And then what you do is you take your soldering iron and you put a very small amount on each pad. And this is the tricky bit to actually get this right, but we'll have a go. So I'm not very good at this, but we'll just see what we can do. Heat up the pad and a tiny bit of solder. Okay, so I've lightly tinned all of those now, and now comes the really tricky part. The idea is to put the chip here on the pads, and then you heat up very gently and press down on one of the pins, and then it heats up the tin that you've already put on there, and then actually starts to solder on there. Now this takes a lot of patience and a lot of time. Okay, and then afterwards we'll check all the connections again, but take your time, gently, small amounts of pressure, okay, until you get them all stuck on there really well. I'll go ahead and do that now. It's easier to do it off camera than to try to do it here under the camera, and then I'll come back in a moment. So as I've said many times now, I'm not that very good at soldering, but it also gives a hope to other people like me. If you're not very good, you can still do it with patience. Now, what we're going to do now is we need to test each pin on the chip and make sure it comes down this cable like we did earlier on, and that makes sure there's a good connection. So we're going to start with this end pin here, and we want to touch the pin on the chip itself, and then we want to actually see if there's a connection. I'm not running a current through it this time. I'm actually going to use just to see how many ohms I measured. You don't want to run any current through this chip now. And that first pin was a success. So I'm now going to go ahead and test all the others and make sure that all of them are connected correctly. Okay, now that's all checked out okay. What we're going to do is we're going to build the kind of the power supply part of this circuit. Now the power will come through the USB to serial converter, and we'll take the 5 volts and the ground off that, and we're going to use these little components here. Now we'll start with the voltage regulator. Okay, with the flat side towards you, there's a rounded side and there's a flat side. With the flat side towards you, just pop that here into 3 consecutive holes. There you go, like that. So that's all 3 holes there on that there. And then what we do is we take one of these capacitors and we just stick that across the 2 rails there like that. And we take the other one and we stick that across the first and the second pin of the voltage regulator. Okay, so that's all the components in place. So now we're going to need to actually just put a few wires in. We're going to go from the 3rd pin here on the voltage regulator through to our positive power rail here on the breadboard. So there we go, simple as that. 3rd pin through to the positive. And we're also going to go from the 1st pin, which has also got the capacitor and the voltage regulator on it, we're going to go from there through to our negative rail. So let's just connect that up. Like that. So that's the 1st pin with the capacitor and the voltage regulator through to negative, the 3rd pin through to the positive. Okay, so that's the little power supply. Now we're going to be taking the power from the converter, the serial to USB converter, as I said. So all you do is you take the USB serial converter and you just pop it in here into some spare spaces. Now the right-hand pin here on this board, on this particular model, is the ground pin. Be careful, some of the boards are wired up differently. You need to check the labels, but this is the ground pin on this one. So we're now going to go from the ground pin here through to the ground here on our actual board. So those are connected up. Okay, and we can even push that capacitor down there like that. So there we go. So that's from pin number 5 through to the ground. Now the 5 volts is the 4th pin along. So what we're going to do is we're going to go from that 4th pin along, and we're going to connect it to this middle pin here or on the voltage regulator and the other side of this capacitor. So let's just go ahead and do that now. Okay, so that's the 4th pin
through to the middle pin. I've bent this capacitor out of the way. Let's pick that back up there. Let's straighten that up there. Okay, so that goes into the middle pin of the voltage regulator and the right-hand side of the capacitor, and that's coming from the fourth pin, which is the 5 volts. So that basically now will give us power to this little part of the circuit. All we need to do now is to power up the board and to connect the TX and RX to the chip itself. Okay, so the RX on the serial to USB converter is the second pin on this model, and it needs to go around to pin 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so there it is. And now we want to do the TX. So the TX is the next pin next to it. So the third pin there, just under this jumper, which makes it a little more difficult to get to. Let's just pop that in there. Okay, and that needs to go around to the 19th pin on here. Now, of course, these are all labeled, which is really, really handy. Connect that in there. Okay, so now we've got the 5 volts on the ground going into our little circuit here, and we've got the TX and the RX going through to the microcontroller itself. And finally, the microcontroller needs some power, so we need to connect two of these pins over to these two rails here. So let's just do that. We need to connect the positive, the 5 volts, to pin 15. So let's just count them off here. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And we connect that to the positive rail of our breadboard. And we need to connect the ground to pin 16, the one next to it. So I've got an LED here. What we're going to just do is just stick that into two pins here. Notice that the longer leg is on the right-hand side as I'm putting this in. I'm also going to connect now a resistor from the left-hand leg, which is the shorter one. And we're going to put that straight through to ground. And finally, we need a way to control that. So we're going to take it from pin number 1, that's the one we're going to use, and we take that round to the positive pin on the LED. So pin number 1, and just take it through to the positive here on the LED. Okay, so now that will be connecting through to the LED and then through the LED into the resistor and then onto the ground. Okay, that's it. That's our circuit complete. So the next step, of course, is the software. Okay, so we're basically going to need 2 bits of software to be able to write programs and flash them onto our microcontroller. One of them is Flashmagic. Of course, links will be in the description below. It's basically a programming tool for microcontrollers from NXP. And since we're using the NXP LPC812, this is a perfect tool for doing that. So you need to download it and then you need to install it. Installation is pretty simple. Next, 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 next. And it will also install some drivers along the way. Now, the other piece of software we need is MCU Expresso, which is an integrated development environment from NXP itself. It's free of charge, code size unlimited, easy to use, and it supports the LPC MCUs, which of course is what we're using. The only downside is that you do need to create an account at the NXP website, log into that to get through to the download area. So you need to do that, you need to download it, and then you need to install it. Again, fairly easy installation, next, next, next. It's quite a big download, quite a big place. You need to install it somewhere where you've got enough disk space, but a pretty easy thing to actually download and install. So you need to download both of those tools, the Flash tool and the integrated development environment, so that we can write some code. Okay, now to get the basic project outline for this microcontroller, and there is a project on GitHub which is called LPC810 Codebase, and that really has got the skeleton of any project that you want to run. Links will be in the description. We need to download that, so we click over here on clone or download, and we'll just download the zip file of that basic skeleton project that we need. Okay, next of all, we need to start the MCU Expresso IDE. And when you first start it up, it asks you where you want to keep the workspace. I'm going to just shorten this a lot. And if you remember, I installed the other program in NXP, I think it was. So I'm going to put this in FNXP workspace. So that's a simple, use this as a default and do not ask for this again. Okay, so here we are inside of the MCU Expresso IDE. Now what we want to do is import that project that we downloaded. So in fact, the easiest way to do that is just to click IDE over here, which makes you switch to the normal IDE. And then down here on the left-hand side, import projects from file system. And then it actually says, do you want a .zip file? That's why we download the .zip file. So we'll go to yes, and I'll go and find that zip file. There it is there, and open that up. Okay, and then we just go through it, and it says, what are the projects? Well, that's the projects inside of it. And it just goes through that and creates the project here on the left-hand side. And as you can see, it's all the things that you'd find in a C or a C++ environment. And what we want is source. And there's lots of files here that have already been made for us that do lots of useful things. Main.c, that's where things happen inside of C programs. And so what we want to do is scroll down here. And the first thing we want to do is change the lead location. Now, if you remember, we've connected it to pin 1, if you remember from the hardware setup. And if we have a quick look here at the pinout of the chip that we have, pin 1 over here is called PIO0, so that's on port 0, pin 17. So we want to change not pin 2, we're not using 2, which is down here, we're using 17 because we connected it up there. So in the code here, we need to change this to a 17. And then we need to scroll down here a bit further into the main program. Now, one thing to notice is I connected the LED to ground. So in fact, when it says off here, it's actually going to be on for us. It's going to be the other way around. So what we're going to do is we're going to set it to be on for, let's say, 1 second. Okay, and then we're going to make it go off very quickly. Let's reduce this to, let's make that 250. So it stays on and blinks very quickly. And that will give us a make sure that it's our program that's running and not anything else that we might have already uploaded onto there or some other program. We'll be sure that it's our one because it's this long and short combination. Now, once you've done that, we can just save that. So it's probably Control S. Yes, it was. Go up to Project and then say Build Project. And it's going ahead and it's building that. And now it's built. Now, what actually happens in here, they've already given us a releases directory, and these are the projects that we've just built, and we're interested in this .hex file. And what we need to do is we need to find that in Windows Explorer. So a really easy way to find that is to right-hand click on the source directory here, go to properties, and then click this little button here, which basically shows it in Windows Explorer. And so there it is now in Windows Explorer, and we want this hex file. So the next step is to fire up that Flash Magic tool so we can download the hex file onto our board. Okay, so here is Flash Magic. We'll make this full screen. And what the first thing we do is to change the microcontroller. If you remember, we're using an LPC812. And then that's going to find that, and it's actually that one, the JD20. The other variations here are basically to do with the packages they come in. So that's the one we want. And then we want the baud rate to be 115200. Now we also want to pick COM7, which is actually what the FTDI programmer is. Now the important thing is to make sure that we put this into programming mode. So I'm going to cut now to show you how you put the board into programming mode, and then we'll come back here. Okay, so to put the board, the microcontroller, into programming mode, we need to connect pin 3 here to ground. And so the easy way to do that is using one of these other types of wires, because we can very easily pull it in and out. So basically, pin 3, we've already got something in pin 1, of course, that's what we're going to flash the LED with. Pin 5, that's the RX or the TX, can't remember which one it was. Now, I need to connect this to ground, okay? And then we need to connect up the power to it, and it will go into programming mode. So let's connect up the power. Okay, the red LED has come on there. Let's see if we can just turn that around a little bit. Okay, and now we can program it from our computer. Okay, now that we have the board in programming mode, one thing we can do is go up to here and say read signature. That will make sure that it can talk correctly, and it can. It can talk correctly now to this chip, so that's all working okay. So now we want to go up and we want to say, in here we want to go to browse, and we want to find that program that we've built. So that was in NXP, workspace, codebase, release, and there's that hex file that I was talking about. So we pick that, and then all we do is that we can tick verify just to make sure it loads okay, and we just hit this go button, start button here, and that will program it, and it does it pretty quickly. And that's it, it's loaded onto the firmware. Now we'll go back over to the board, we'll reboot it, and we should see our LED flashing. Okay, so now that's programmed, we need to disconnect the USB again, take away our little enable pin here, and now we connect it up again, our program should be up and running. So let's see. There we go. Long, short. So that's our program running. And that's it, we've done it. We've built it and we've programmed it, and here it is running. Well done.
Okay, so there you have it. And I won't keep you around any longer. It's been quite a long video. You know the drill. If you liked it, please give it a thumbs up. Do subscribe to the channel. And that's it. I'll see you in the next one.